Welcome back. 502 here at 97.5. The Fanatic. I'm Joe Stazak. D. Lineham is to my left. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight talking Phillies right now. We'll transition into Eagles in a little bit because can't forget about them. They have a big game in Minnesota tomorrow. Returning to the scene of the Super Bowl. That's where they're headed tomorrow. 1 o'clock kickoff. Kirk Cousins coming off a monster game against the Giants. Against Carson Wentz, coming off a pretty much average game against the Jets. We'll get into Carson Wentz a little bit and where everyone is with him. And we're going to continue to talk about the Phillies. We're going to break down this press conference a little bit more and maybe even talk about who we think should be the next manager. But let's first go out to the phone lines once again, and we'll talk to Chris in Pensauken. And you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
I just want to tell everybody I was a CEO in 1979, just so everybody knows.
How'd that company work out?
It worked out great.
Good.
Then I advised my father on the cigar business. Then I changed my last name to Snyder. And, Dave, while you're getting refreshments, and Joe, while you're carving up the turkey for Thanksgiving, can you go by the kiddies table and check if Matt washed his hands? My God. That was a pure embarrassment, Dave.
I was embarrassed for him.
That dude, let me tell you something. And you know I'm a 4-4-4 guy, but I call up Dave and she gives me extra time on the Phillies because she just knows I'm dying.
Wait, say that one more time. You said it too fast. What did you just say?
He's saying that I know he's a Phillies fan and he's dying and he wants to rant is basically.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm allowing him. I'm not jumping in.
Yeah, she's so cool. I love both of you. I called my daughter up at Rowan. I said, can you please read this email? She goes, Dad, you know the email. She goes, your friend signs your Tom Ranches for a living. I said, just read the email. Very nice. Not bad. No shots. You just want to make sure my spelling was correct. Very nicely told him, take me off the Sunday game plan. I no longer need to get any of your emails. I won't purchase a ticket. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. But at the end of the day, man, when you're just burning money out of your pocket for nothing, they're 5 years away, man. My kid's going to be a freshman in high school next year. By the time she goes to college, there's still going to be nothing.
And that's completely unacceptable.
And John Middleton doesn't get it. And for him to talk, here's the problem. You want to talk direct to me? Sometimes you guys talk direct to me. Sometimes I'm out of line. Sometimes you guys are out of line. We're adults. When you talk down to people and they're your paying customers, Joe, you know the businesses I own, you know, they wash clothes and stuff. I would never talk to a customer like that or an employee. He talked down to everybody there. He basically said, you know what? I make all the big decisions. Matt, you deal with the uniforms. And McPhail, I don't know what you do, dude. You're just there.
What does Andy McPhail do?
I mean, I feel like poking him and going, dude, are you alive? And know what, dude? Everybody laughed at me when I used to call you up and you're like, hang in, Chris. I was going down there. They were winning five games. I was going to the Sixers games for free to see other players. And everybody got on that guy. You can say one thing about the crazy man for the Sixers, here's the difference between the Sixers and the Phillies, and I know I'm sure for time. Hinkie, he had a plan, and he took calculated risks. Half of them didn't work. The Phillies, they're just gambling. They don't even know their left foot from their right foot. That's like giving them the keys. When my oldest daughter turned 17, she got her license, and she said, Dad, can I have the keys to your truck? I said, you're out of your mind. You're taking your mom's minivan. You're not driving my F-150. Are you insane? It's all good, Dave. It's all good. Know why? Because we got the Flyers back, and now I can get on their bandwagon.
There you go.
Gentlemen, you young lady, you know I love the barbecue, just so you all know. I got a little marinade, baby back ribs, Dave, because you're always going, oh, man. I got them in a little Yingling sauce with some sea salt.
Nice.
I'm going to crack some crabs and listen to you guys and drink some lobbers. And, hey, John Middleton. Thank you for telling me I'm out. I appreciate it. God bless. Go Birds.
All right, Chris. Thank you, my friend. It's a heck of a day he's having back there.
I would say this when he says about Hinkie took calculated risk. When he got to a point, we will never know if Hinkie would have allowed for it to play out and keep pieces that he got. One of the great things that he loved doing was flipping.
I always loved flipping.
Yeah, he flipped all the time. So, you know, okay, he tanked to the extreme. He wanted to corral as many assets as possible, but they took the keys away from him in time to allow maybe somebody a little more responsible to then utilize the assets that the organization then has.
Oh, you mean like Brian Colangelo?
But Brian was his own doom. And, you know, he'll forever be known for the Burnergate and also for the Fultz.
For the Fultz pick.
And both of those are not good. I mean, he was on the watch when they picked Ben Simmons, but nobody will ever, you know, that's because...
No brainer.
Yes.
All right, 610-632-0975. It's got to Ryan in Westchester on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. I'm not exaggerating when I say that we as fans are doomed with John Middleton as a owner. There is no possible way that this team can win. This guy is trying to win a World Series when his team needs a second baseman, a third baseman, a center fielder, a left fielder, four starting pitchers, at least four relievers. This is a rebuild. And he's acting like George Steinbrenner. Does he realize for every free agent he signs to big money contracts, he's taking a draft choice away from the future? This team needs to be rebuilt, and this guy is on Mars. And until he is removed, we as fans, we shouldn't even tune in or even care.
Well, he owns the team. I don't think he's going to be removed anytime soon.
Well, Joe, we are lucky. They are a limited partnership. He does not have controlling rights. The other owners can take him out. And we as fans should put pressure on those other owners to take him out. He's out of his element. He is not a baseball guy. Great. You can sell cigars. Congratulations. You cannot run a baseball team. Even people are saying that press conference was dysfunctional. No, even dysfunctional people have enough functional ability to put on the illusion that they have it all together. They were a complete mess.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, you're arguing with the wrong people. I thought it was a little bit of a disaster myself. It was good television because I was watching this unfold on live TV, but yeah, it didn't go well for them yesterday.
No,
and that's why
it exposed them as an organization, you know, a ship without a rudder.
Right. They have no plan. That's the problem. Like or hate Sam Hinkie, he had a plan and he executed it.
Matt Klentak could not answer a question about the draft. John Middleton, I came away thinking that he thinks his farm system is
okay
to provide us relief pitchers. What is he talking about?
Do you think he's not stupid, so he sees the same things we do. Why not just own it? Yeah, we haven't done well drafting, and our farm system is weak. That's one area. It's a key area we need to focus on going forward. Why not take that route? Do you think he really believes that his farm system's okay?
Well, I believe he does if, in fact, there are something in the analytics that is telling him that.
Oh, God.
I'm just telling you.
No, I know.
That is, he so strongly believes in what the analytics are saying. So I don't know how you apply the analytics to judging the 30 farm systems, but given the answers he gave yesterday, I would say he is reading some numbers in there that make him feel that they are fine in this area and we are the ones who don't understand.
So the path that's going to, that these guys are going to go down is obvious. You're going to be signing pitchers who are 30 years old to 7-year contracts. I mean, Boris is going to be running the Phillies. He's got Middleton in his pocket. It's not the right direction. The opposite needs to happen. Realmuto has to be traded. Aaron Nola needs to be traded. This is a complete rebuild.
Wait, what do you suggest they trade them for?
You trade them for the highest value you can possibly get, because Aaron Nola and Realmuto and Segura, they're not going to be here, Joe, by the time if it ever works out.
So you want to trade what you have now for high draft picks if somebody would give you that?
Well, I don't even know if you get in baseball, you can trade for draft choices, but you need to get some young talent because you cannot rebuild this team in the time frame that your players are, you know, at in their career. They're not going to be good at that point. And so to think that you should be pushing for a World Series is utterly ridiculous. No one in their right mind would look at that pitching staff and say, we have a shot. No one would look at their positional players and say, yeah, we're good. No, no, no. It's the opposite.
Well, I appreciate the call, Ryan. Listen, he's talking about their marquee players, and that's all you got. Why would you trade them for a prospect, which is a crapshoot? It's a crapshoot. You already at least have some key players in place. You have some ball players, guys who can play ball, and you have a starting pitcher who's a one. I know he regressed a little bit this year. They almost all of them regressed, except for Bryce Harper and Realmuto. You need to stack the starting pitching, the rotation, and you have one. I wouldn't get rid of him at this point. I mean, you got to give me some bank or something coming back, and I'm talking about bank in terms of players.
He didn't have a good enough plan for me to understand what are you trading those guys for.
Right, you can't just say let's just rebuild.
So that you're not spending any money. I mean, I don't quite get it. Unless he's saying make it so you are not a 81-81 team. So that you are so bad, now you're drafting higher? I guess that's what he's saying, maybe.
Not a good plan. Huh. Sorry. They don't draft well. Why would you want to have more draft picks?
Well, I think better would be to put people in that can evaluate talent better than has happened here. And I was told when they put Klentak in, that was what the strength of Klentak was going to be.
I was just going to ask you that. What criteria does he have that makes me feel comfortable that he can evaluate talent? He played ball at Dartmouth. Okay, he's probably a pretty smart guy. Does the analytics thing. Why am I trusting him to evaluate pitching, relief pitching, left-handed hitters?
I guess I would have to go back and see.
Do you trust him?
Well, I would like to know more of why he was considered like an up-and-coming GM in this league when they acquired him from the Orioles organization.
I think McPhail liked him. Whatever he was doing, he thought he saw promise in the kid. I don't know. Listen, Theo Epstein, I don't know if he had any credentials, and all he does is win everywhere he goes.
Right. So if you see something, but my point is if it then doesn't come to fruition, for instance, Matt Klentak knows that now it's on him. He doesn't get a second chance after this.
Right.
You know, you either get this one right with the right manager who continues to, try to put this organization in a winning situation. Personally, if we're always on Brett Brown, I mean, whatever happens with this group better be in the playoffs next year. Matt Klentak, this manager, it hasn't happened in 8 years. This group is now on the clock. You must be in the postseason next year. 8 years is too long.
Yeah, he's done, I think, if they don't make it next year. Have some year similar to this one.
At that point, what are you then? Then we're having a press conference where it's Middleton and the manager that was hired by Klentak, who now is fired along with Andy McPhail because they failed to make the postseason now for a ninth year?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so that probably is the frustration of that last call.
Ryan, yeah. I don't blame him. I don't blame him for being frustrated because 5 years away is unacceptable. They've already been out of the playoffs for 8 years, and this rebuild that we're in now, I think, essentially started last year. So you're 2 years into it. I think you get three more years. Can they turn this around? See, that's what was my question.
Well, you got to make the postseason.
Got to make the postseason.
Got to grab one of those wild cards.
Right, but that was my question. Do you trust this front office? And I'm asking this to the listeners to turn this program around and be a championship contender, or not even a championship contender, a champion, a World Series champion in the next 3 years. I say no, because I agree with the callers. I agree with you. There's no plan. I don't know the plan. I don't know what kind of manager they're going after. I don't know if they're going old school. I don't know if they're trying to, let's find the diamond in the rough like they did with Gabe. I don't know.
I will agree with Ryan that there is, at some point, you can correct it. Because Middleton's stake is 48%.
Yes.
So if they really, really hate the direction, but that takes a lot to organize the other 52%.
Right, right.
You know, they're kind of like, this is supposed to take care of itself.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that happening.
You put this person as the, head of the advisory board, and that's what Middleton is. I don't know if that's the name of the board. I'd have to look it up. I think it's called that.
But I still don't know why.
Yeah. He's the chairman of the Partners Advisory Board.
Okay.
That's the
Middleton
proper,
is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And basically, when David Montgomery, who was one of my near and dear, loved that man, when he had to take a absence because of his illness.
Right.
This all put in place where Middleton now is the face of the ownership.
Okay, I got you. I got you. He did not clean house. He got rid of the manager. And, of course, we all saw the three amigos on stage, you know, Andy McPhail, Matt Klintak, and John Middleton. To me, I know he doesn't want to admit he made a mistake. Who is he? He's talking to Gabe and Andy about Gabe. I'm sorry. He's talking to Matt and Andy about Gabe. Who is he consulting about Klintak? McPhail? I mean, those two are in bed together. So he's got to, I mean, remember he went to Klintak, he said, and they talked, and Klintak, you know, begged him to go out and get more information. Now, where is he getting information on the two underlings he has?
Well, he's not.
Right.
Basing that,
that's what I'm saying.
For himself.
For himself.
Yeah.
They needed to clean out. You have in business, you have two bad quarters, red flags go up. You have two bad years, you're going to clean house. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Dave in Center City on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
You know, congratulations on an all-star, riveting day of radio.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
What a day.
It's a heck of a day out there, Dave.
It's beautiful. What'd
you think yesterday, man?
Well, you know, there's a flip side to that coin. The Atlanta Braves have won 19 National League East Division titles in 24 years.
One World Series.
Yes. The LA Dodgers have now been in seven straight playoffs, National League playoffs.
No rings.
No rings. Their ace comes up smaller than Pat Combs would come
up. He's the Peyton Manning of baseball.
He's the Peyton Manning of baseball. I want to switch gears, Joseph. Golden Tate, yards after catch, no one is even close to him in that category. He catches the game-winning pass against the Bears. He almost single-handedly helped the Giants pull an upset against the Patriots. Yet, we keep Aguilar. And by the way, Nelson Aguilar, it was conveyed to me, can run stride for stride, nose for nose with DeSean Jackson, but he has no idea how to track a football.
I've seen him track footballs before. I've seen him track footballs in that Houston game last year when Foles kind of turned around and just slung it. He tracked the ball down, caught it 50 yards down the field, and ran for a touchdown. He can track balls. He's not as fast as DeSean Jackson. I don't know where that premise came from, but no.
So that's false.
Yes. Definitely false. I think he has some speed, but I don't think he's DeSean Jackson.
Dave, I know where it's coming, though, because in anything that you're hearing right now with DeSean out, they say Nelson should be able to be the guy who can stretch the field.
All right, Dave, I have a trivia question for you.
All right.
I always tell Joe he's Hollywood handsome. Now, and I've told him this before, him and a former Minnesota T-Wolf player have been separated at birth. Name that Minnesota T-Wolf player. I'll give you a hint. He played at Miami of Ohio.
Zerbiak?
You got it.
You're the best, D. Nice call.
I don't think they look like each other.
Do
but
we
I
look
know.
Like each other?
Same hairstyle.
I actually run into Wally a little bit, but
I have to check that out during the break. Hey, Dave, thanks, man. Have a great night, pal.
Man, Dave,
I'm
so glad I came through in the clutch there.
That was big time.
That was a tough question.
Woo! That was good stuff.
And I'm not a trivia person, so I, generally speaking, don't like those kind of put you on the hot seat.
He put you on the hot seat, didn't he? Yeah. That is a fear here when yes. you're on the radio and you're supposed to know more than the
And
call.
There is no 7 second delay.
No
for
7 second delay, right. You're like, oh, it doesn't sound good. I'll try back.
I couldn't hear the back end of that question.
And we got to move on. We got to take a break. We actually do have to take a break. She's D. Lineham. I'm Joe Stazak. Do you trust this front office can turn this thing around and win a championship in the next 3 years? 610-632-0975. We are here till 7 o'clock tonight. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I got to tell you, if Dave from Center City is still listening, man, thank you kindly for that compliment, because I wish I looked like Wally Zerbiak. He looks like he walked out of a magazine. My goodness, and he's jacked. You see him with his shirt off? I would kill to look like Wally Zerbiak.
Wally Zerbiak. He was actually, he played at Miami of Ohio when I actually worked in Cincinnati.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And his dad played professionally, overseas mostly. And Wally currently, I want to say he does stuff with the Knicks. He's an announcer of some sort, okay. Whether it's the pre, post, something along those lines. But he was an excellent, excellent college shooter, and those I'm going to guess that his Miami of Ohio teams were coached by Herb Sendek. Do you recall that name?
I do know the name.
That would be Wally's years.
How about that?
He was from Minnesota, and he was actually Mr. Minnesota coming out of high school.
Sure he was.
Yeah. That was for his basketball talents. Not his
I know,
looks.
But it doesn't hurt to look like
just
this.
Just got a man crush on Wally Zerbiak
right
now.
I would totally hit on this guy.
he is a good looking
he's
guy.
He's a good looking guy, yes. Man. Well, Dave, I appreciate it anyway, but what are you going to do? 5:30 here at 97.5, The Fanatic. Back to the Phillies talk. You know, this wasn't Gabe's fault. I don't know how you can get around this, because the team should have progressed this year. Not saying they would have made the playoffs. Not saying Gabe would still be here. But if you look at everyone who got worse this year, Hoskins, Herrera before he got suspended, Franco, Quinn, Nick Williams, Nola, Arrieta, Pavetta, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Adubre Ramos. I mean, they all went backwards.
Neris went forward.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Hector had a
good year.
Hector Neris went forward, but there's like 10, 11 guys I just mentioned. Especially Rhys Hoskins. He's one of your cornerstones.
A big one, yeah.
Oh, it was awful. But
Bryce's year was, I thought, very good.
Yeah.
His first.
He had a good year.
Yeah,
35-114.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll take that. And defensively,
he was good.
I thought he was very good defensively. And his effort and his hustle and just the way he carried himself and endeared himself to Philly and did all the things that everyone asked him to do, ringing the bell at the Sixers game and whatever he was asked to do, he did. You know, and I thought he was such a punk coming out of high school. My opinion of him is completely opposite of what it was. And you grow up. You know, he was like 17 at the time. He's now like 26. So you grow up and you kind of cringe at some of the things you did when you were younger. At least I do. But no, Bryce Harper was a bright spot on this team. Let's play some sound, shall we, Josh Raybeck? I don't know if we heard Middleton about, because we talked about the farm system, Dave. He was asked about the farm system that, you know, they struggle in that area. Here's what his response was.
The only top 100 list I've seen this come out now is MLB.com. You have 3 players from that list that are on the top 100 that came from those 3 drafts. And in our view, a myriad of other prospects that aren't in the top 100 that come from that draft. So to accurately answer your question, you have to make an objective evaluation of how that ranks with all the other 30 teams.
All the other 30 teams, I shouldn't say all of them, but You know, you got the Braves, the Nationals, the Astros, the Yankees, for God's sake. They all seem to replenish, rebuild through their farm systems. Look at Acuna. Acuna just comes up out of nowhere at 19 years old, is, you know, like MVP candidate. He was unbelievable last year. He has a problem here or there hustling, but he was phenomenal again this year. They seem to get those guys. When's the last time that happened here? I don't know. A guy coming up from Ryan Howard?
And he was late to the
party. He was late to the party
because of Jim Tomey. Right, exactly.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like those guys don't pop up like they do for Atlanta. Atlanta has always had a perennial.
And supposedly they have a whole bunch
more
of
guys
prospects
coming through still.
In like the top 50.
Well, we got three in the top 100, right?
Yeah.
We're good. We're in good shape, yeah. Matt in Hatfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, man.
I want to talk about the Phillies. I heard the press conference yesterday. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that good. McPhail, he owned up to what he said. Middleton spoke what he had to say. I thought he did what he had to do. Klintak, he still has to go. He still is so clueless about this team. He's hurt the team with too much analytics. The team had absolutely no heart this year. And if you look at the games they should have won, heart played a bit. Baseball players have to have heart to play.
That's an excellent point, because I agree they lacked heart. They were soft.
The guy who had heart was Harper. He played so well. I used to hate Harper.
Can you say that again, Matt? You went out for a little bit.
I used to hate Harper. When he was
who didn't?
But you know something? I couldn't wait for him to get him. I hated him because he's so damn good, and we didn't have him.
Of course. And he had punk thing going.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, he's maturing well. He fits well in this city. Kapler did not fit well in this city. I think for sure that the players probably told Middleton, hey, time for him to go. And they were nice about it on the radio or TV, but I think they thought it was time for him to go. That's my opinion. Do they need to replace some people? Sure they do. Second base, you bring Kingery in there. Hernandez has got to go. He's got trade value. He batted 280, had some pop in his bat a little bit. Third base, you might want to bring a new kid up at Bowen if he has a good spring. I don't know. They can spend money. They got plenty of money to spend. We'll see what happens there. Pitching, they have three decent pitchers. Nola's a number two. Arrieta's probably a three or a four. And then you got Eflin, who was a good pitcher. I still think he's going to be a good pitcher. I think they should go after Bumgarner. I think they should try to get Cole Hamels back. That gives you some kind of good, you know, solid five. I really believe that. The relief pitching, they got three. Suarez, and I think what's his name? The other left-hander, Alvarez. After that, I don't know. They need to get some bodies in there. A lot of the guys weren't even ready to come up. You know what I'm saying? A lot of those guys that they brought up weren't even ready to come up.
They overestimated what they had.
Exactly.
And
well,
then
sure they did.
Yeah. So I mean,
that's
part of
the whole process.
Most teams rebuild a bullpen three or four pieces every single year. It's just starting pitchers what they need, and Klintak didn't have a clue. I mean, they're still talking about, oh, Velasquez could come back in the bullpen. No, he can't because he got a nickel head. I mean, unless you fix these guys, their thinking on pitching, forget it. Hoskins at first, I think he can come back. I really believe you got to kind of keep him because of salary. I think he can come back out of it, getting the right hitting coach. They all hit the crapper once in a while. I mean, this analytics hitting is not where it's at. It's just not. Some guys just can't take to it. They're trying to this launch angle. Hey, Babe Ruth used to swing down the ball. Mike Schmidt swing down the ball. Henry Aaron swung down the ball, and their balls went flying.
They don't have the bat speed to do this launch angle thing.
I will tell you this. If anybody wants to analyze why Reese has struggled so, is because of exactly that.
Absolutely.
He put so much time into the launch angle of this.
I'm sure you can say it.
And it's killing him.
What's really funny is I think he's holding the bat too hard. I would bet my life he's holding the bat too hard, and that changes the way your hand, everything goes.
Well, he's pressing.
Yeah, I mean, I used to umpire baseball. I used to watch guys, their knuckles used to turn white. And I'm like, you're not going to do anything.
Right.
I told a good friend of mine, hey, stop holding the bat so hard. Boom, went back to hitting everything anywhere, you know? And that's not just because I know. I think I've been involved with baseball for 30 years, you know? I mean, so, you know, at pretty high levels. But some of the stuff that these guys, the analytics is not where it's at, in all respect. A little bit of here, a little bit there. Manager, I can't tell you who they should get. I mean, I like Girardi, I like Buck Showalter, I like Socha.
Yeah, Socha's on that list, though it doesn't get as much traction as the other names.
Exactly. Girardi, I think the Mets will probably get him unless, you know, he's got some ties to McPhail. A lot of those guys have ties to McPhail. That's the nice thing. I would like to see Raul Baños come, but apparently he's taking his name off the list now.
Well, he said it's not the right time in his life.
It's not the right time.
Probably
he wants to spend time.
I'm an experienced guy, you know. I got a big joke out of it yesterday. Lenny Dykstra wanted to become manager of Philly.
So did Curt Schilling.
Yeah, Schilling. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm just telling you.
That stuff makes me laugh. I know. That stuff makes me laugh. They need a good pitching coach and a really good hitting coach. And I think Charlie Manuel should pick the hitting coach.
Yeah, but he's gone. Thanks, Matt.
No, he's saying he should pick the hitting coach.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
And I would second that. I think Charlie would know who would be good for that position.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. You know, yeah. Charlie's not into the launch angle thing, by the way. He thinks the same thing. They don't have the bat speed, and he talked about hitting down on the ball. I mean, that's what Charlie was brought up with, and that's what Charlie teaches, hitting down on the ball.
I went to MLB's Prospect 100 ranking.
Yeah.
The Braves have 4 in the top 35. And Boehm is the Phillies' first guy that comes up on the list.
Does that excite you?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard plenty of about him.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, a former prospect of the Phillies, Sixto Sanchez, is in there.
Sixto Sanchez, they gave him up for...
Yeah, what's that?
I'm starting to think who they gave him up for.
That was in the last offseason. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, the Real Muto. He's in the Real Muto trade. That's right.
I don't have a problem with that, because JT gave you a lot this year.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's a no-brainer. He was awesome this
Sanchez
year.
Sanchez is... ranked 22nd.
Okay. Well,
I know.
The Braves still have 4. You just mentioned 4.
4 in the top 35, and Boehm is the highest of the Phillies, and he's 34.
He's 34?
So the fourth Brave comes right after him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's not good. Well, we got to take a break. On the other side, I'm going to play the sound from John Middleton. He was asked about the bullpen struggles this year and the cupboard being bare, and you're not going to believe his answer. Stick around. We'll play it on the other side. She's D-Line. I'm Joe Stajak. We're coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Chief D. Lineham, I'm Joe Stajak. 546 here at 97.5, The Fanatic. We're talking to Phillies. We'll transition into Eagles very shortly, but we'll keep the phone lines open if you want to chime in on the Phillies and kind of give us your thoughts. And the question of the day was, knowing what this front office looks like, still looks like, do you trust that they will turn this around, can turn this around into a championship team in the next 3 years? Now, on the other side, on the previous side, it talked about the question that John Middleton was asked about his bullpen and the struggles they had this year and the cupboard being bare. Here's what he said.
The bullpen's ERA, to answer your question, in the second half of the season, particularly from the trade deadline on, wasn't it the fourth best bullpen ERA in baseball? So just kind of sit there and say that the cupboard was bare is not true, because if that's the case, then what about the other 26 teams that had a worse bullpen?
So basically, though, I mean, when I pointed out Hector was a big part of that second half
sure.
of that bullpen's ERA.
Yeah.
And they He is correct in saying it was fourth best in the second half, but you cannot ignore what happened in the first half.
Right.
So it's part of, he answered the question without answering the problem.
He likes to bring up stats. And yeah, I get it. They can support you. I do it here. Yeah. They support my argument. But, I mean, what do your eyes tell you? I mean, you saw them collapse so many times and give up two strike, two out hits five times.
I will say, I do agree with him that I didn't think the bullpen was as much the problem in that second half. But it was so decimated in the beginning and causing you losses that shouldn't have been. And and now you have two guys in your arms that are not going to be available for you next year either because of Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. Right. They do have some work to do. And if you don't think Matt Klintak is the guy to do it, who I don't think he is, and I'll answer my own question, no, I don't trust this front office to turn this team into a World Series championship team in the next 3 years. There's not a chance. So I'm looking at maybe at the most or the best possible scenario, like 5 years, if they can do it at all. I don't know if they can do it at all. You can't just assume that 3, 5, maybe they'll do it in 7 years. They might not be able to do it at all. And they're still here. And I thought, you know, again, two quarters, red flag, two bad years, time to clean house. They did not do that. And like you said earlier, you don't like to, those guys don't like to admit that they're wrong. He would have to have admitted that he made a mistake in extending Matt Klintak and a mistake in Andy McPhail.
But I see now when I'm studying Middleton more,
yeah,
when he's so enamored with analytics, he of course he likes Klintak and McPhail because they think like he thinks.
Right.
And Gabe would have been in the right guy for him also, except for he does comprehend that, what am I supposed to do? I have to answer in some way, shape, or form, which is why you then got the answer of why the manager and not the others, or why the manager and not one of the others. And, you know, because the manager always takes that hit. That's basically what it is.
Sure.
Said.
Can't fire the players. Do you think that in firing Gabe Kapler, do you think, what am I trying to say here? That, what did exactly he do? Is there one thing he did that Middleton talked about yesterday that really was his undoing besides the record in September last year and this year?
I mean, Klintak said it was his inability to connect with the fan base. Personally, I think it was more his managing of games, actual games, or lack thereof,
right,
decision-making, and then how he conducted himself when having to answer for those, that ultimately the answers didn't equal, well, why? And so when he says doesn't connect with the fan base, okay, so we're saying in post-game interviews, he kind of turned people off, but the real reason he turned people off is because what you were saying didn't make sense to win games.
Right, and the Philly fans are not stupid. I thought it was an idiotic answer yesterday because connecting with the fans, you will do that on every level if you're a winner. If you are a winner. No one wanted to hear 81 times last year that we tried hard and we clawed and we scratched and, you know, I'm proud of these guys. You know, it's participation trophy culture. And it annoyed the hell out of me. And usually I don't like, you know, factor that in too much in terms of a guy's tenure here or his job. Andy Reid was terrible at the podium. But that was part of it. And he didn't win enough games. And I'm wondering if they didn't specifically point out his game managing or how he was with the hitters or whatever. He basically said his inability to connect with the fan base. Well, you connect with the fan base when you win games. Like is he just talking about his post game press conferences and how it turned people off?
No, I think I am saying that.
Well, you're right. And what else is he saying? How did he not connect with the fans? Because
I'll tell you where this is what he said. Obviously, you know, I was a big fan of Cap. He said the former manager was talented, hardworking, and had good communication. But Klintak would have to admit that Kapler had his stumbles. He mismanaged, then he told the the bullpen leaned too heavily on analytics, and sometimes his messaging, like when he benched Cesar Hernandez, that failed to connect with his players. That's what he's saying were the responses. But I know somewhere where I read that.
Yeah, but what about the fan?
Yeah, he said something along that. It must have been in a different article that I read it.
Well, I just find it, you know, interesting. You're going to really involve the fans. That's why I wanted them to make a decision based on baseball information.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want them to. Bottom line, I did want to make a change. But I didn't want them to make a change because the fan base wanted them to make a change. I want them to do their baseball things. They know a lot more than us, or they're supposed to.
Joe, they didn't do this because of the fans. Come on. They did it because they weren't winning enough games.
No, that's correct. I'm just saying his soundbite said they're not connecting with the fans. They know how much the fan base, you know, disliked him.
But I don't think they made their decision because of that.
You don't think it factored in at all?
No.
Okay,
I mean, come on.
I do.
People hated Times Yours forever and a day.
He's talking about when you're not connecting with the fans and you're turning them off. He's talking about ticket sales. I mean, directly affects the bottom line. I think that they listen. I don't know if they listen to talk radio. I know they read. Gabe used to read everything he could get his hands on. And I think they know the pulse of the city and what people were saying and what fans were saying. And I think it factored in. I really do. Let's go to Doug in Pennsburg on 97.5. What's up, Doug?
How you doing? Well, I'll tell you, one of your questions was, do you have confidence in them going forward? And I don't have any confidence. I have a couple points to make after hearing that interview. I was so frustrated. One of the things is that it's clear that analytics are here to stay. And Middleton flat out said that. And two, Clintac or McPhail really doesn't make much difference, because it became obvious to me he's really the one making decisions behind the scenes. He said that. I'm a CEO. He explained about being a CEO, and I have to decide in the end what goes right. The other point that I wanted to make, when McPhail talked about that mistake, he said, oh, I should never have said that. This is what I really meant. He went on to say exactly the same thing. And then he goes on to say, I don't want to pay $2 million for a one or two pitcher. But he brings in these guys, Garcia and Smiley, and he's paying them $5 and $8 million. I mean, he don't make any sense.
He doesn't. I think he doesn't want to, you know, do a lot of patchwork to which is going to maybe affect the team long term, just to make the second wild card. I think that's what he said.
Well, he did do patchwork by bringing those two guys in. That was patchwork. And he's paying them a lot more than bringing a fellow. Who was the guy they were talking about bringing in and went to the Braves?
Keuchel.
A couple $1 million. That's chump change.
No, that was a mistake. That was a big mistake. I appreciate the call, Doug. We got to take a break. She's D. Lineham. I'm Joe Stazak. 610-632-0975. We're going to talk a little bit about the Eagles on the other side. We have another hour to go. Of course, big game with the Vikings tomorrow, 1:00 in Minneapolis. She's D. Lineham. I'm Joe Stazak. Josh Rayback behind the glass taking your calls at 610-632-0975. We are coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.